Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza. 42-year-old grade school teacher John Mark Carr is being held in Bangkok, Thailand, charged with the death of JonBenet Ramsey. Federal officials say Carr is already being held in Thailand on an unrelated sex charge. According to the Ramsey family attorney, Carr is a school teacher who once lived in Conyers, Georgia, not far from Atlanta, where the Ramseys now live. The lawyer isn't saying if the Ramseys know Carr, but in a statement, JonBenet's father, John, says he and his wife had been aware there was a suspect. Patsy Ramsey died in June, but her husband says she knew of the investigation. A scary false alarm on a flight from London to our nation's capital. Authorities say it was a claustrophobic woman who got into a confrontation with a flight crew member. The pilot on the London to Washington flight was escorted in by fighter jets, and all 182 passengers were ordered off. Officials say there's nothing to indicate it's terrorism, but they still took off all the luggage and had a bomb-sniffing dog go through the plane. It's Thursday in the Middle East, and the Israeli army has started handing over positions to the United Nations peacekeeping force, stepping up its withdrawal from southern Lebanon after the Lebanese government agreed to deploy troops near Israel's border for the first time in nearly 40 years. More than 50% of the areas Israel holds have been transferred to the UN peacekeeping force. The Lebanese army has been assembling north of the Litani River, 18 miles from the Israeli border. 2 days after the abduction of two Fox News journalists, Palestinian officials have no firm leads on where the men are being held. American reporter Steve Santani and cameraman Olaf Wieg of New Zealand were abducted Monday near Palestinian security headquarters in Gaza City. Palestinian officials say it's unusual for kidnappers not to make any demands for 2 days. That's made it hard to track the abductors or understand why they kidnapped the newsmen. No terror charges for three Palestinian-American men from Texas. A county prosecutor has filed the charges against the men after they were found buying large numbers of cell phones. He says the U.S. Attorney's Office has issued its own charges against the men, and it's not clear what those charges are, but the FBI said yesterday that it had no information to indicate that the three men have direct ties to any terror group. And another glimpse at the September 11th. New emergency tapes from September 11th open a window on 1,600 previously recorded first responder calls. The 1,600 calls include the latest conversations of 21 first responders. Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza.
good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in tonight. It's about 7 past the hour. And in a few minutes, Tony Truppiano will join us to chat for a while. He's a radio talk show. Is he still a no, he's not. He used to be a radio talk show host, and he's now a candidate for Congress in Michigan's 11th Congressional District. We're going to talk to him for a while. We've known Tony. We have a strange relationship with Truppiano. We've known him for, what, 5-6 years, never met him. But wasn't he with IE America Radio Network at one time? No, he was a fill-in. That's right. He's a substitute for us, didn't he? And then he got his own program. Anyway, he's going to be joining us a little, I don't know, about bottom of the hour, I guess. What's up with the Republicans who are either holding office or are seeking office? It's a complete meltdown, isn't it? This George Allen thing is just astonishing. The Rick Santorum thing is incredible. It proves a point, though, I think, that all Republicans, I'm sorry, if your mama's a Republican, I've said this before, I'm sorry, this is just the way it goes. All Republicans are racist. All Republicans are liars. And Republican office holders will do anything or say anything in order to retain whatever office they were elected to or the election that they stole. I'm beginning to think that Republicans are a subgenus of human beings. Or is it subspecies? Which is it, Kathy? Subgenus or subspecies? Subspecies? Okay. I don't know. I'm a talk show host. I'm not a biologist. But they're really losing it. This thing, let me play this thing from George Allen. The senator from Virginia who is seeking re-election, his opponent is former Republican, a former Reagan, not cabinet member, but Secretary of Navy, Jim Webb. He's a former Republican who just decided that the Republican Party has become so filthy and so corrupt and so anti-military or anti-soldier that he got out. But one of the, and decided to run for the Senate from Virginia, one of James Webb's volunteers, young man, 20 years old, named Siddharth, was called Macaca by this racist bastard, George Allen. Now, I'm sorry, I repeat myself. But Allen is a Republican, and again, all Republicans, especially in the South, and Virginia still is the South, every single Republican in the South is a racist. That's why they're Republicans in the South. You know, some people can say, well, and I'll concede the point that maybe in certain parts of the country, not all Republicans are racist and liars, although my inclination is to go with what I said a minute ago. But in the South here, it's a given. They are sneaks, cheats, liars, and racists, every single one of them. Now, during a recent campaign rally, George Allen referred to Siddharth as Macaca, which is it's strictly a racist term, but if media or whomever got the story out, if they think that's going to have an effect on the voters in Virginia, oh, it will. It will have an effect on the voters of Virginia. The ones that were undecided now will swing over and vote for George Allen, the white people. The unspoken thing in the South with a white candidate is, of course, who's a Republican, is of course he's a racist. You try not to let that out. You know, because then people get all nasty and funky on you, and you know. But now that it's the cat's out of the bag about this thug, what people in Virginia are going to say? Oh well, hold on a second. You know, here in the former capital of the rebel army, we're going to, you know, we're going to take umbrage at the fact that this white Christian man who obviously loves Jesus made some remark about a dark-skinned possible terrorist. No, no. They're going to say, oh, boy, love you, George. Now, Allen began his little talk by saying he was going to run his campaign on positive, constructive ideas, and then he pointed to S.R. Siddharth in the crowd and called him, well, you can listen.
This fellow here over here with the yellow shirt, Makaka, or whatever his name is, he's with my opponent. He's following us around everywhere. So welcome. Let's give a welcome to Makaka here.
Makaka.
America and the real world of Virginia.
Well, the real world of Virginia, welcome to America and the real world of Virginia. Of course, the young man lives in Virginia. He is an American. Right? In a statement released yesterday afternoon, Allen said his remarks, this was last Friday, to this young man. His remarks were completely taken out of context, and Allen's campaign event, or the Allen campaign said the remarks, quote, have been greatly misunderstood by members of the media. A spokesman for Allen said yesterday that Makaka was a play on the word Mohawk. That's a name given to Siddharth by the Allen campaign because of his hairstyle. Oh, well, of course. Makaka and Mohawk. Well, obviously, they both start with an M. They both have A's, obviously. Allen said he, quote, made up a nickname for the cameraman, which was in no way intended to be racially derogatory. Any insinuations to the contrary, completely false. Now, the cameraman is Siddharth, who was videotaping this rally for his candidate, James Webb. Now, the video of Allen's remarks made it onto youthtube.com, so it's all over the world now. And it has become one of the most blogged about topics on the internet, according to Technorati website, which tracks entries on 51 million blogs. The young guy, he's 20. He's a volunteer working as the Democratic eyes and ears on Allen's campaign. It's forced him into to national media. You know, he's supposed to watch what happens with this guy. He was interviewed yesterday by several major newspapers and appeared on CNN. Now, Allen, see, here's the thing. Allen still has a Confederate flag in his office. He's a racist of the highest order. His own sister is out now with a story saying that he's also violent. But, you know, this enhances George Allen's position with white people in the South, white Republicans. When the story breaks or broke, and you know everybody believes at least partially in justice and equality and giving folks a chance and not being a smart ass just because you're surrounded by white people and you see somebody who's not quite white in the crowd, you know, everybody sits around and goes, "Oh yeah, well that's really a shame." No, here in the South, and this is over in near the Kentucky border in Virginia. And for those of you who live in different parts of the country, if you haven't made trips into the Deep South, and I'm not talking about Birmingham or Atlanta or Richmond, I'm talking about the Deep South. When you get out of the big cities, they're bad enough. But when you get out of the big cities and get into the rural South, oh, sweet Jesus. If you have never made that trip and you're a white person or a liberal or a Democrat or even just a Northern Republican, you have no idea. You have no idea how deep the racism is and how it's just tossed around like a frisbee. It really doesn't mean anything to the people who use it. It's a given. If you're Republican and you're white in the South, yeah, of course you're a racist. Of course you're a racist. And God bless anyone else who is too, and if they're running for office, you'll vote for them, right?
I'm Mr. Lonely, wish I had someone
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Let's see. There I was sitting around the leader with the table with foreign leaders, looking at Colin Powell and Condi Rice. Yeah.
See what I mean? Now it doesn't stop with George Allen. There's a Republican in Wisconsin of all places named Paul Nelson. who is challenging the Democrat in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, the Democrat, Ron Kind, not sure how you pronounce it, has been there since 1997. The Republican challenger is a guy named Paul Nelson. And Nelson says that Muslim men should be singled out by airport security when they're trying to board a flight and sent through a special line reserved only for Muslim men. And he was asked, well, how do you identify a Muslim man? Which, fair question. And Nelson said, quote, if he comes in wearing a turban and is named Muhammad, that would be a good start, end quote. Do we have that? Yeah, let's play that. Listen to this jack-legged right-wing Republican conservative racist freak.
Well, you know, if he comes in wearing a turban and his name is Muhammad, that would be a good start.
Well, how many Muslims wear turbans? Sikhs wear turbans. The ignorance of these pale-faced bastards is monumental. It's just, but their racism is stunning. Now, it doesn't stop there. On the same day or the next day, this right-wing thug on talk radio named Mike Gallagher, who makes Hitler look like a liberal, he was on Fox News Dayside on Tuesday. And he proposed that airports institute a Muslims-only line for airport travelers. The co-host of Dayside, this Fox garbage pit in the morning, someone named Juliet Huddy, set up the debate by noting that all terrorists have been Muslim extremists. And said, you know, if you oppose racial profiling, are you being politically incorrect? All terrorists are Muslim. Really? Is that the truth? The all terrorists. Now, that's an encompassing statement. So the Hindu terrorists are Muslim extremists. The Jewish terrorists that were used to blow up buildings during the British occupation of Palestine, they must be Muslim, too. The IRA who blew up department stores in downtown London, they must be Muslim, too. Who else? I mean, where do you stop here? The ignorance of these foul-breathed thugs is astonishing. All terrorists have been Muslim extremists, she says. Now, a constitutional lawyer happened to be on that same program, Dayside, said, quote, it's not just a matter of political correctness. Please, it's illegal, it's unconstitutional, unethical, immoral, it shouldn't be done. And he goes on, and then Gallagher, this four-legged freak right-winger, responded that the statements Michael Gross make about this kind of profiling was illegal. He says, Gallagher says that Gross's statements were, quote, absolutely absurd, end quote, and claimed that the Traffic Safety Administration is aggressively targeting uniformed members of the military. What? Gallagher went on to say, let's have a Muslim-only line. And he says, it's time to have Muslims at a checkpoint line in America's airports and have them scrutinized. You better believe it. It's time. Now, isn't it interesting? You see, this just dovetails nicely with Bush's Islamic fascist statement over the weekend. I'll tell you, these people, and you know who they are, these right-wingers, these Republicans, these conservatives, they're trying to push us into some sort of religious war in this country. And does Fox News come on? Does Fox Radio Network or wherever these vermin have eaten their way into the fabric of this country, these white, right-wing, male, neo-fascist conservatives. Does anybody come on the air, on the air where this kind of stuff happens and say, look, we think this guy is a real scum sucker, we're going to fire him? No, of course not. They promote it. They push it. When do they go after the Jews? And that day is coming. These Christian right-wingers, I'm telling you, you people who are Jewish, who have been listening to this program over the past month, With my ranting and raving about the bombing of Lebanon, let me tell you something, Bubala. When the tide turns, when these right-wing Christian fascist Americans decide to go after you, then what are you going to do? Just the way they're going after the Muslims now. What are you going to do then? Now, I understand you've had 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years of this kind of bigotry and attacks. But what are you going to do when they finally come after you? Remember what Pastor Niemöller said in Germany in the 30s. But this attack on Muslims now. Oh, they're all terrorists. They all have turbans. They're all named Muhammad. I'm ashamed to be an American. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. That's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and popped them on the internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh, the new owner of your Jetta. He traded it in.
Wait a minute. That red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. It's just, when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected. It's just like we're a family. We should hang out. You and me and the Jetta. Do you have an email?
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Pet owners praise it. The hotel staff loves it. Parents rave about it. Allergy sufferers applaud it. Senior citizens are agog about it. Now it's your turn. Hi, I'm David Orrick. Everybody's singing the praises of my 8-pound Orrick XL because it's the best vacuum that ever touched their floors. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them, with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Dr. Phil is on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day. For a limited time, Match.com will guarantee you'll find someone special within 6 months, or will give you 6 months free. Join Match.com today, the number one site for love.
right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 26 before the hour. This is Air America. Way back in the day, I used to know a talk show host named Tony Truppiano. As a matter of fact, sometimes he used to substitute when there was a network. Well, it wasn't really a network. It was just kind of a rickety thing held together with spit and the string called the IE America Radio Network. And his name is Tony Truppiano, and he joins us now from Michigan. Tony, you decided to go straight, get out of the talk radio business, and get a decent job, I take it.
Mike, first of all, I got to tell you, it's a thrill to be on, and I think the smartest thing Air America ever did was bring you on board.
Oh, now, all right. having said that, what made you get out of talk radio?
It's time to change the world, Mike.
I hear that.
It's time to change the world. It's time to get a fresh perspective on what it is that you and I have fought for so long to try to protect. And I really felt a calling. I felt that it was just time I did more than just talk about it. And I want to make a difference.
Well, you have my respect, and I really mean that. You and Nancy Skinner both running for Congress in Michigan. You're in the 11th, right?
Correct.
By the way, his website is Tony, initial, a numeral 4, Tony 4 Congress, but used the numeral 4, 2006. Tony, numeral 4, Congress, 2006.com. Tony for Congress, 2006.com. Check it out. And another reason we've been having these candidates on from around the country, and you all know this, we've said this before, they need money, unless, Tony, you're getting money from a lot of rich backers, are you?
No.
I wouldn't think. Most Democrats don't, and it's a constant struggle. So go to his website, check him out. For heaven's sake, support him. I don't care where you live. Support this candidate the way you've been supporting some of these other Democratic candidates. All right, what's the plan? Are you in a primary, Tony, or have you already been through it? What's the deal here?
Well, we did have a primary last Tuesday. I did not have an opponent, but we did quite well, actually. Of all the candidates in Southeast Michigan, I got the largest percentage. My opponent got 10,000 less votes than any of the Republican running. There's a lot of reason to be very optimistic about the next 83 days.
That's good. So you are the Democratic nominee then?
Absolutely.
Well, that's good. Now, the 11th, does that go all the way down to the Ohio state line?
No, that would be part of Dingell's district.
Okay. So
I'm right next. I'd be right next to where John Dingell is, Mike.
All right. So you kind of fit in there, but you don't include Detroit.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Western Wayne, southwest Oakland counties. It's a really interesting demographic mix.
Yeah, that's real close to Detroit. But all right, what the position? I feel kind of like an idiot asking your positions because I've listened to you and I know what your positions are. But for people who are not aware of where you stand on just the quick four or five key issues, beginning with our adventures in Iraq, can you just give us a thumbnail, Tony?
Yeah, absolutely. It is time to come home, and I do believe that we can find a way to get all of our troops home by the end of 2007. I don't buy into this idea that by setting a deadline we're somehow creating some heinous act. We've created so many heinous acts in Iraq that I just can't buy into that. So it's time to bring these passionate soldiers home and let them do their real jobs, which is to protect our borders, to be in our communities, to give them an opportunity, Mike, to make a legitimate living, raise their families, be able to send their kids to college. I think that we just need to do this, and we need to do it quickly.
All right. You're in Michigan, which is one of the states over the past 25 years, arguably has been, if not the hardest, one of the hardest hit where it concerns manufacturing jobs, and now the auto industry seems to be in just a hell of a situation. What's your plan regarding manufacturing jobs in Michigan, which at one time used to be the backbone of this country? So what are you going to do about that, Tom?
Well, we certainly need to diversify our employment base. We need to get out of just this manufacturing mode. It's just time for that, but at the same time, we have all this infrastructure and so many different facilities in place that are vacant right now that could be, once again, productive, providing consumables that that we've outsourced, and we need to bring that work back home. We just need to do it. And there are ways that we can incentivize corporations to do this. But part of the challenge, Mike, and one of the realities is organized labor has, at some level, lost its ability to control.
That's the truth.
And, I mean, they're working hard to get it back. I mean, I know that firsthand. I'm out there every day. I'm working with labor closely in this campaign. And they understand they made a mistake, that they fell away for quite a long time, and they're trying to correct that. And we have to honor that work, but we need to bring more people into the process.
I understand Senator Levin has endorsed your candidacy. Is that right?
Absolutely.
And if I remember, somebody told me this. I don't know who it was. It might have been Peter Werby. But your parents are Italian immigrants, right?
They are.
They came to this country, and then you were born, but your parents came over here from Italy, right?
Correct.
Well, you're only my grandparents did, but so you're first generation Italian American.
Absolutely, proudly.
Yeah, well, I would hope to shout. I mean, aren't we all? What about the Bush crime family? And it's Bush has got control. Unless something really strange happens, like an impeachment or something else, he's got control of this country for another 2.5, almost 3 years, which means he has an awful lot of power still left with his signing statements, with his appointments to the federal bench, with his recess appointments, which I know he's going to continue. What do you see as the proper action Democrats should take once they get control of the House?
Well, the first thing, obviously, when we return John Conyers to the chair of the judiciary, he will immediately begin inquiries to get us information so that we can determine what's going to be the best course to right a great many wrongs that have been done to America. And it's not just the president, Mike, as you know, it's the vice president.
Right.
It's both attorney generals. It's Colin Powell to a big degree. It's Condoleezza Rice. This is systemic. There's a culture of corruption in this regime, which my opponent Thaddeus McCotter has supported from day one.
But that's the Republican.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, this horrible regime has lied to the American people, has offended us. And Mike, listen, I listened to your show. I'm sure that you've had to up your high blood pressure medication. it's not easy to be a learned person in this country and live the way we have to live right now.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Tony. You know, I grew up in Toledo, which is not very far from your district, and we had a huge Lebanese population, not like Dearborn, that has probably one of the largest Arabic populations outside the Middle East. And I grew up, you know, Danny Thomas, for example, is from my hometown. I grew up around Arabs, around Jews, around Catholics. I have to say, when I was a kid growing up and even into high school, it was not a big deal. And this was after the troubles began in the Middle East with the UN resolution regarding Israel. What are you going to do as a member of Congress to... I don't want to give you a loaded question here, but what would you do regarding the Middle East, regarding the fact that I bet a lot of people who are going to vote for you are of Arab descent?
Absolutely. Mike, it's a great challenge to, and of course there's an amazing mess that was made that Democrats once again are going to come back and clean up. But the first thing we need to do is we need to understand what the concept of peace is. And we need to start building the kind of bridges that allow for people to make mistakes every now and then. And we need to be a little more forgiving as a world, as a global community. But we never talk about peace anymore in this country. We never talk about conflict resolution that has some kind of meaning or being able to define, niches in a culture and trying to understand, why the root cause of that conflict. And this may sound a little mamby-pamby to some people, but I'm sorry. This is a part of the equation that we have to go back to. We will never, ever be able to move forward in the Middle East and see any kind of real peace if we don't try to find the peace that's already there.
So what I'm hearing you say is you would support like most Democratic administrations in the past 40 years, at least an attempt to get the you would recommend talking to people. Bush won't talk to anybody, and he won't allow anyone in his administration to talk to anyone. So you feel then, am I hearing you right, that you've got to sit down and talk with all sides around this issue?
Well, and absolutely. And whether it's North Korea, whether it's China, whether, you know, it's anybody, you're right. See what happens when we don't communicate. We end up with more hatred. We end up with more violence. We end up with more war. And so, yes, Democrats understand that by continuing a dialogue, there's always an opportunity. There's always an opportunity.
When Bush decides to attack another country, he will probably come to the House and the Senate for one of his cheap-ass resolutions. And we have to take a break here, Tony. But when we come back, I want you to think about this over the break. What is your take on some of the targets that Bush already has set up? Namely, I'm thinking about Iran. How do you think a Democratic-controlled Congress should respond when Bush comes back with these cheesy little requests for another war resolution? We're talking with Tony Tripiana. Go to his website. Check him out. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Hi, is Michael there?
This is?
Okay, my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And, how is it?
It's great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Flying Monkey Free Zone.
We're talking with Tony Trupiano. Go to his website, Tony4Congress2006.com. He's going to represent Michigan's 11th district. Before you answer that question, Tony, about a resolution, one of our regular listeners sent me an email, Kurt, and he's addressing it kind of to you. He says, "Yo, Trip, want peace? Work for justice." And in the ad, or in the ad, in the email, he says, "Don't work for peace, work for justice, and the peace will follow." Right, Mike? And he signs it, Kurt. And yeah, that's true. I sometimes don't stop and think that peace follows justice. It's not the other way around. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree with that. I mean, that's brilliant. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah. So to work as a member of Congress, or as a you know, whatever a person's job is, but especially you people who are going to be in Congress, who will be writing or at least signing off on a foreign policy as well as domestic policy. I think that's key. I think that's a keeper. Work for justice. The peace will follow. That's a keeper, Tony.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, when Bush comes around sneaking in the back door looking for more war resolutions, he may not do it when the Democrats get control, but let's assume he does. What should be the Democratic Party response?
No, sir, you're not going to do that. You need to now play by the rules. You no longer have the gift of the last 6 years. Now you have to be a real leader, and you need to learn how to lead.
But he can't. He's not. He's a fake. He shouldn't be there. He lost two presidential elections. It's not going to happen. Do you see Congress asserting itself, both the House and the Senate, to take over where this freak has decided, or not decided, but where it's obvious this freak is incapable of leading?
Absolutely. And I don't know.
I mean, it's going to be up to guys like you.
Well, I don't know if you're familiar with the Congressional Progressive Caucus.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Four members of Congress. And I spoke with Congresswoman Barbara Lee this afternoon, Mike, and I'm convinced, and there's been a little national news about the progressive, the Congressional Progressive Caucus in the major media the last couple of days, because this idea of being progressive is suddenly a pretty cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the American people are going, you know what? I do want what progressives want. I want health care for everybody. I want safe streets. I want my borders protected. I want to be told the truth. Those aren't radical ideas, Mike.
No, they're not. They may be radical in the age of Bush, because we have been so conditioned and geared here in the past 5 years to think otherwise. All right, listen to this. This is from Sylvia in Redford, Michigan. She said, "Mike, a big surprise for us who just moved into the 11th district 5 months ago, and we've been trying to put together our district, understand where it is. We came from the west side of the state. We had to move back here after my husband retired from General Motors." And then there's a little more, and then she writes, "So, yes, my husband and I are going to donate what we can to Tony Trupiano. I already met McCotter.
Yeah.
Through correspondence on issues that I've emailed him on just by return letters, but it was enough for me to know I don't want to be represented by another Republican. Thanks for introducing you to me and my husband." And it's signed Sylvia and her last name in Redford, Michigan. So that's in your district, I take it.
Right next door. I live in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. Redford's the neighboring community.
Well, I have no doubt as to your points of view, your progressive Democratic points of view, Tony. I hope this works. I hope you get there. I hope Nancy Skinner gets there. There's a guy down here, Steve Sinton, in one of the collar counties around Atlanta, who's a Democrat running in a Republican district. I hope he gets there. All these people we've had on, I hope you folks get there, because God knows we've got to have Democrats back in power. Now, what's the last thing? You've got about a minute and a half here. What's the last thing? I'm going to give it to you. What's the last thing you want people to know who are listening to this program about you and about what you're about? Just let her rip.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, Mike. Thank you. I do want to talk to your audience tonight, and I think it's time we have a conversation about what it really means to want change. I have not been supported by the establishment. I am a Democrat. I'm a very proud Democrat. And I've learned that there are two kinds of Democrats in this country, voters and establishment. voters need to take over the process. But in order to do that, and I'm not just shilling for dollars here, I don't make the rules. If I did, we'd have publicly financed campaigns. I need your help. I need donations. This is a red district. We can turn blue in 83 days. But people, progressives especially, have to start sending money to causes like this campaign.
Well, that's I think that's a very fair statement because, you know, people bitch and complain an awful lot about the representation in D.C. Or sometimes they don't complain so much about their own representative, but they complain about, well, the, you know, the United States Congress, what a bunch of scum. And that's because these Republicans since 94 have just pushed us to the brink. So money is key here. I hope you get it, Tony. I hope this works. And stay in touch with Kathy, and we'll try to get you back on. Well, we don't try. We'll just do it. We'll put you back on before the general election. Because I know you're going to need as much publicity as you can get. Best of luck to you, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. People need to believe this can happen.
I believe it. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again. Tony Truppiano is his name. Truppiano. It's Tony, numeral 4, the word Congress, 2006.com. Check it out. Check it out. And if you think this young man would be an asset to try to get our country back, vote for or not. If you can vote for him, vote for him. But if you can't, send him some money. Do something. Do something. This is what it's about, right? Just do something. All right, we'll be back after the break. The woman on Fox Dayside said that all terrorists are Muslims. I got a couple of emails here. Timothy McVeigh. Was Timothy McVeigh and the Nichols brothers, were I guess they were Muslims too? Huh? Timothy and Mike Gallagher, that was the mouth breather that took his followers down to stand opposite Camp Casey last year and chant, "We don't care." Remember that? What a bunch of just pigs these people are. Just utter pigs.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL Ultra has an 8-year guarantee. The reason my warranties are so much stronger is that my American-made vacuums are so much stronger. Orrick XLs clean thousands of hotel rooms every day. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. You'll still be breaking in an Orrick while other vacuums are broken down.
Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza. It's Thursday in the Middle East, and the Israeli army has started handing over positions to the UN, stepping up its withdrawal from southern Lebanon after the Lebanese government agreed to deploy troops near Israel's border for the first time in nearly 40 years. More than 50% of the areas Israel holds have been transferred to the UN peacekeeping force. The Lebanese army has been assembling north of the Litani River, 18 miles from the Israeli border. A 42-year-old grade school teacher is being held in Bangkok, Thailand, charged with the death of JonBenet Ramsey. Federal officials say John Mark Carr is already being held in Thailand on an unrelated sex charge. According to the Ramsey family attorney, Carr is a school teacher who once lived in Conyers, Georgia, not far from Atlanta, where the Ramseys now live. The lawyer isn't saying if the Ramseys know Carr, but in a statement, JonBenet's father, John, says he and his wife have been aware there was a suspect. Patsy Ramsey died in June, but her husband says she knew of the investigation. JonBenet Ramsey was a 6-year-old beauty queen. Her body was found in the basement of the family home the day after Christmas, 1996. A scary false alarm on a flight from London to our nation's capital today. Authorities say it was a claustrophobic woman who got into a confrontation with a flight crew member. The pilot on the London to Washington flight was escorted in by fighter jets, and all 182 passengers were ordered off. Officials say there's nothing to indicate it's terrorism, but they still took off all the luggage and had bomb-sniffing dogs go through the plane. 2 days after the abduction of two Fox News journalists, Palestinian officials have no firm leads on where the men are being held. American reporter Steve Santani and cameraman Olaf Wieg of New Zealand were abducted Monday near Palestinian security headquarters in Gaza City. Palestinian officials say it's unusual for kidnappers not to make any demands for 2 days. That's made it hard to track the abductors or understand why they kidnapped the newsmen. One official says the search is focusing on the Gaza City area. No terror charges for three Palestinian-American men from Texas. A county prosecutor had filed the charges against the men after they were found buying large numbers of cell phones. He says the U.S. Attorney's Office has issued its own charges against the men. It's not clear what those charges are, but the FBI said yesterday that it had no information to indicate the three men have direct ties to any terror group. The three men, ages 18 to 23, had been charged with collecting or providing materials for terrorist acts. Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Timothy McVeigh, a Muslim terrorist. Nichols Brothers, Muslim terrorists. Who is the guy who bombed the clinics here in Atlanta and set off the bomb at the Olympics and took off into the mountains in North Carolina? Who is it? Yeah, he was a Muslim too, right? That's what Fox's Early Morning and program and Mike Gallagher and the rest of these people who want to push us apparently into some kind of internal chaos in this country. We've always had people like that who have worked against black-white relations, who are now trying their damnedest. They're doing everything they can to foment distrust and hate and rage and murder and mayhem. And so many of them are doing it because of this perverted sense that this will bring the Christian Messiah back, that Jesus is just going to be thrilled with all of this. Man. So the British intelligence and the police get everybody in that kingdom. It is the United Kingdom, right? Get everybody upset. Oh my God, they're going to be shooting airplanes out of the skies. 10 airplanes, no 20, no 100. Oh my God, really? Oh yeah, it's just going to be awful. But we saved it. We caught them. We here at MI5 and Scotland Yard and the police department, we caught them. We caught the wuggy bastards. We got them. It's not going to happen now. We arrested 23 of them, or is it 24? It's hard to keep track when you have this many of them running around in the police station. But we got them. We got them all. Everything's cool. But it was awful. It could have been like the bombing in the tube. It could have been like what happened in Spain. It could have, oh Jesus. Oh, but we got them. We got them. Or you did? Yeah, we got them. Okay. All right. So you have 4, 5, 6, 7 days of that, right? And it's still going on. And people get a little nervous, don't they? They get upset. They get anxiety-ridden. They have free-floating anxiety. So a woman today, was it today, a 59-year-old woman flying from London to Washington had an anxiety attack. It's being reported as a confrontation with the flight crew. You ever seen someone in a... I got anxiety attacks about 35 years ago. There was a short period of my time, a period of time in my life when I got these free-floating anxiety attacks. Oh! Let me tell you something. If you've never had one, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you have, imminent sense of doom, your heart races, your palms get sweaty, your respiration gets shallow, you have this impending sense of doom, you're about to die. And I had a nurse friend tell me when, I was freaking out. She said, drink a beer. What? Drink a beer. The alcohol calmed me right down. It did. So after dealing with this for about 3 months, it just went away of its own accord. Gone. Drink a beer. So here's this woman having a full-blown, the point was, when you're having a full-blown anxiety attack, you tend to get a little, if not hysterical, active. Because the world is about to end, and nobody's paying any attention to that ending except you, because you're right in the middle of this maelstrom. So that's what happened to a 59-year-old woman on a flight, United Airlines flight, from London to D.C. The flight was diverted to Boston because apparently this woman was out of control. Really? Now we're finding out she was hogtied or tied to a seat or something. She was carrying, oh Christ, sit down. She was carrying hand cream. Ah! A banned item. And matches. Hand cream and matches. The aircraft was escorted into Boston's Logan Airport by two jet fighters. Responding to reports that the woman had been tied up during the flight, United Airlines spokesman Brandon Borman said that, yeah, she'd been restrained. Look, when somebody gets on our plane with hand cream and has an anxiety attack, she's lucky we didn't push her out the cargo bay door. The spokesman for United said, safety and security are top priority. Crews are trained to restrain when they feel it's appropriate for the safety and security of the flight. Okay. Reports that the woman was carrying a screwdriver and a note referring to Al-Qaeda have been denied. Jesus God! Who reported that? Sean Hannity? The freaks over at Fox News? Well, you know, she also had a screwdriver and a note that said, Dear Al-Qaeda, I want to blow things up. Love, 59-year-old woman having a major anxiety episode on board an aircraft because of what they've been pumping into my head! Security officials at Boston's Logan International Airport laid out all of the luggage from the plane on the runway, checked every item with sniffer dogs. Sniffer dogs! Now, when this was posted at BBC News, it says passengers are still at the airport going through customs. The FBI also plans to speak to some of them over the incident. What incident? 182 passengers on board, and one person freaks. Why did she freak? She had an anxiety attack. A spokeswoman for the FBI said the woman passenger was apparently claustrophobic and had become disruptive on the flight. Well, claustrophobic. Very easy to get claustrophobic on an American Airlines, United Airlines flight, right? 180 some people on board, and you're sitting there, and all of a sudden, and you go into an anxiety attack. And what happens? Flight attendants come back and say, "If you don't be quiet, we're going to have to restrain you." But this is what it's... Can you believe this? You know, I'm cruising through the house today, and I look at the little TV in the kitchen where Kathy's making, yes, gingerbread cookies for Molly. Because Molly has heard, run and run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm a gingerbread man. So Kathy's making gingerbread man cookies today. With Molly. And she's got the TV on over there on the counter, and I look at it, and I said, what the hell is that? There's a United Airlines, there it is, camera on it, CNN, the terror, boom, Logan Airport, wait a minute, Logan, isn't that where the terror, yeah, boom, blah, blah. Kathy, what's going on? Woman had an anxiety attack. What? Woman had an anxiety attack, so they sent two fighter planes to do what, shoot it down? Who knows? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So the last thing I hear is the woman is, what is she under arrest? Or has she been committed to an institution? Or is she in Guantanamo? Or Diego Garcia? Where have they sent her? You think she had an anxiety attack on the airplane. Imagine what she's going through now. Oh, my God. Well, this is what it's come to, right? This is what it's come to. Make the Muslims, you know, the ones wearing the turbans, go through a different line at the airport. And if some, you know, freaked out woman has an anxiety attack, restrain her, send up fighter jets, bring the plane down, set it on the tarmac way, way out there because, you know, she's got hand cream. The bitch has hand cream. How did this happen? How does she get past security at Heathrow Airport with a jar of hand cream and matches? Oh, my God! These people, and by these people I mean the Blair government and the Bush government, they're attempting to drive us all crazy. Or turn us all, if we're Muslims, into terrorists, suiciders, or if we're Israelis, into berserkers who go screaming, bombing an entire country because two of our soldiers are captured. They're doing it to us. They're doing it to us, right? Why do we continue to participate? Huh? If we're Arab or Israeli or American or Brit, why do we continue to participate in this insanity? We've got maybe 20 people in positions of command and control on this planet right now who are driving the rest of us, the other 6.5 billion, mad. Jail, jump bail, join the army, it's real.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
This is Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young Freedom of Speech Radio with David Bender. Here's David with David Crosby on Air America.
You're not shy about sharing your views. What's your take on the national political scene right now?
If ever there was a group of politicians who did not impress you with their skill and intelligence, it's the ones we've had running the Democratic Party. Now is the time for the man of character to stand up and say, you know what, this just doesn't cut it. Looking for a leader. The Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights are the best defense of freedom that's ever taken place. This country is the best place on earth. We're not giving it up this easy. Let's get in this and fight. And we, Neil wrote that song, too. We're looking for a leader. It's a really good song. And he means it. He's totally sincere.
Stay tuned for more Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young Freedom of Speech Radio with David Bender and your chance to win exclusive tickets when CSNY get to your town. Get more information online at AirAmericaRadio.com.
Truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. I can't get this woman out of my mind. This 59-year-old woman who is making that flight from Heathrow to D.C. today. What if she was forced to give up her medicine before she got on the plane? What if she had, you know, I don't know, from British medicine. They've got National Health Service there. Do they give anti-anxiety medicine, like maybe in liquid form? Isn't there a rule now? No liquid anything? Oh, baby milk? Oh, okay. Formula, whatever. Restraining someone who is in the middle of a full-blown anxiety attack? Oh, my God. And wasn't it neat how quickly the jet fighters got there? If only that would have happened on September 11, 2001. Oh, but never mind. That was engineered by the Bush crime family! Oh, no. No, it wasn't, Mike. Don't go there. Don't be insane. Okay. In the Los Angeles Times today, this. Seeking to counter the White House's depiction of its Middle East policies as crucial to the prevention of terrorist attacks at home, 21 former generals, diplomats, and national security officials, all ours, will release an open letter tomorrow arguing that the Bush administration's so-called hard line has actually undermined U.S. security. Are you listening? The letter comes as Bush has made a series of appearances and statements, including a visit yesterday to the National Counterterrorism Center in McLean, Virginia. You remember, we had the sound for you last night. Seeking to promote the administration's record on security issues in advance of November's midterm congressional elections. The rhetoric has increased since last week's Democratic primary in Connecticut. You know what happened there. Retired Army Lieutenant General Robert Gard, one of the letter's signers and a former military assistant to Defense Secretary McNamara in the 60s, well, that's not really a plus factor there, buddy, said the group was particularly concerned about a minister. Well, yes, it is, because he's seen what insane people can do anyway. He said he was particularly concerned about administration policies toward Iran, believing them to be a possible prelude to a military attack on suspected nuclear sites in that country. Gard said the signatories, who included retired Marine Corps General Joseph Hoar, head of U.S. Central Command from 91 to 94, Morton Halperin, senior State Department and National Security Council official during the Clinton administration, goes on and on, did not believe that Iran has the wherewithal to build a nuclear weapon in the immediate future and would push the administration to open negotiations with Tehran. Goes on and on and on. General Gard said the administration appeared to be going in the opposite direction from trying to work out peace. Iran has sought negotiations with the U.S. through Swiss intermediaries. And they had their faces slapped by the PNAC crowd, by the neoconservatives, by Elliot Abrams, by Dick Cheney, by George Bush. General Gard said the administration appeared to be going in the opposite direction, adding that he was particularly concerned by recent warnings from former Israeli military officials that a strike against Iran may be needed to disable that country's nuclear program. From Israeli military officials? What, we don't have any intelligence on what's happening in Iran? General Gard noted that the Bush administration's unabashedly pro-Israel stance during the recent conflicts with Hezbollah was an indication that the White House may accede to such assessments. General Gard said this administration is clearly so beholden to Israel that it raises the concern we might go along with a military strike. It's in today's LA Times. It'll be an open letter. I'm sure it'll appear probably as a paid advertisement on one of the pages, Section A, New York Times, tomorrow. My God. So, where's Chucklenuts while this is going on? Well, over the weekend, Reuters White House correspondent Steve Holland was out at Prairie Chapel, and he was offered the rare chance to accompany Bush on a bike ride around the Texas ranch. And what Holland wrote was, the president set a brutal pace for his accompanying riders, who included two Secret Service agents, White House spokesman Tony Snow, and this reporter, who managed to gasp his way through the 12.5-mile ride. Bush yelled out at one point as he mashed the pedals of his Trek bicycle through a wooded area, "When I wake up to be 16 again!" In fact, Bush does not ride quietly, constantly shouting out in his Texas twang the names of trees and geographic features. Oh, there's Roberta, over there's Ralph, there's Henrietta, and yelling at himself to pedal faster. Go, go, come on, George, pedal faster. Air assault, he yelled as he started one of two major climbs up Caliche Hill, which he named for the white limestone rock from which it is formed. As Dan Frumkin in the Washington Post admitted, yes, he actually yelled out, air assault, air assault. I know someone in my neighborhood likes to yell out those kinds of phrases while he rides his bike, but he's 11. Air assault, air assault, boom, 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 boom. Come on, George, pedal faster, pedal faster. Air assault, bombs are coming.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Hello?
Hey, is Mark there?
Yeah, this is.
Mark, I'm Paul.
Yeah?
I own your old, new Passat.
Oh, yeah, the.
Yes! Oh, boy, it's great talking to you. Listen, if you ever want to just swing by and just, you know, sit in the Passat, you give me a call anytime, we'll make that happen.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Worry about anything here in Washington, D.C.
I just ride my bicycle. Air attack, air attack. Bombs away. Boom. Garrick writes in, Mike, it seems like a large fraction of the U.S. population wants to experience living in a totalitarian state, battling the evil terrorists, which are mostly in their minds. They exaggerate events, the significance of evidence, and they experience this world with the help of Fox News, right-wing hate radio, and so-called terror alerts from the White House. If these were times of normal rationality, there would be some restraint and proper judgment. But people want their fantasies fed, and the White House and media are happy to service this. Our nation is becoming addicted to, quote, reality life, which, like reality TV, is plenty contrived. It was George W. Bush who said, you can fool some of the people all the time, and those are the ones you want to concentrate on. March 31st, 2001. Don't you have that, Kathy? You don't have that quote? Kathy just cracked up, Garrick. You've got that somewhere. The rest of us, Garrick writes, are just along for the ride. And this one, we're about ready to go to your phone calls here. Mike, just want to thank you for your candor with regards to the anxiety attack that the woman experienced in the plane today. The media overblew this crap and deserved to be ridiculed. That poor woman is probably humiliated beyond belief. And I hope she sues the bejesus out of Fox News and all of those knee-jerk idiots who scrambled fighter jets for hand cream. I, too, have suffered an anxiety attack on a flight. In fact, they almost turned the plane around. I wasn't disruptive, but they thought I was in genuine trouble. The flight attendants were understanding and helpful. I can attest to what this woman may have been feeling. It is extremely difficult to keep the fight or flight instinct under control. The world is absolutely ending during an anxiety attack. To the sufferer, anyway, it feels as if you are being choked and cannot get enough air. Every tiny jitter of the aircraft is a sure sign it's going to crash. The walls seem to move and close in on you, and the room spins. It is seriously the most terrifying thing you will ever experience. And there's no good reason for it either, which is extremely frustrating as well. Yeah, I've never had an anxiety attack on an airplane, but I've had them just hell in my living room. I can't imagine what it would be like to be in an enclosed space where you can't remove yourself. Then having flight attendants come at you, sit down, shut up. And you look out the window and there's two F-16s bearing down. And Jesus God! Anxiety attack! At that point, I would have slipped. There are stages. I would have slipped from an anxiety attack into a panic attack. Oh. I'm not sure yet how to handle this story, so I'm probably not going to do it tonight, but I just want to give you the headline, as they say. This is from ChristianPost.com. It's a Christian website, Christian living stuff, and it starts out, survey, : church-going women struggle with porn addiction. The first paragraph, this is from August 10th. It says, responses from a recent poll indicated that sexual addictive behaviors are not foreign inside churches, and a large number of women in the pews struggle with the same temptations. According to a poll by ChristianNet.com and Second Glance Ministries, half of all Christian men are addicted to pornography. What? Half? Half? I thought it was more like 80%. While the statistics for men are nothing new, the poll found 20% of all Christian women to be addicts to pornography. Additional findings showed 60% of the women respondents admitted to having significant struggles with lust. What does that mean? 40% admitted to being involved in sexual sin in the past year. What does that mean? And 20% of the church-going female participants struggled with looking at pornography on an ongoing basis. And it goes on. I just, when you do a story like this, just like if you speak out for the Palestinians, you're an anti-Semite. If you criticize the IDF, you know, you're a Jew hater. If you bring up Christian women who are struggling with porn addictions, then you're being anti-Christian. Okay. I just don't know how to handle a story like that. So I'll just tell you, go to ChristianPost.com. ChristianPost.com.
I'm sure there are a lot of male televangelists who are willing to help those women become covered in the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah, covered in the blood of the Lamb.
And help them feel the Spirit.
Can you feel the Spirit?
Speak in tongues.
Speak in tongues. Can you feel the Spirit? Reverend, that ain't no Spirit. Yes, it is. It is a Spirit moving me. Don't get me started. All right, let's do some phone calls. So all these patient folks have been holding on since the program began, pretty much. Our good friend Sarge is calling from Mississippi. Sarge, powersandmorrison.com. Sarge, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you doing tonight, Mike?
I'm doing great, Sarge.
You know, I keep saying I'm not going to ask that question. I do automatically.
I know you do. That's because you're a gentleman.
Sorry about that, sir.
That's right.
You know, you were talking about this lady with the panic attack. And, you know, I wrote about that in my column today.
Really?
And one thing that I found really interesting about it, this Nanette Day, a spokeswoman for the Federal Bureau of Investigation, said she was arrested after the plane landed because disturbing an international flight is a crime. Duh. Getting sick is a crime, Mike?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and the funny thing about my story today is I was writing about the 14 points of fascism, and this fits into so many categories of it, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
If you need proof of fascism, this is it, right here. Here's your story. You know?
Yes, absolutely.
It really is.
I know. It's we live in weird times, Sarge. We live in weird times.
Well, you know, one thing that's encouraging is we have our chat room open at the site. And there's three young people in there, and all of them just really bright young people, and all of them have good thoughts going through their heads. And, you know, that's encouraging. I just hope there's a lot more of them, you know?
You have a chat room at powersandmorrison.com?
Oh, yeah, you didn't know. We opened it up during your show, man.
Oh, yeah, I think somebody did send me an email about that the other night. How do people get into it? Do they have to register?
No, they can just go right on in, click on the chat, and jump on in, and we're ready to go.
Powersandmorrison.com, and just go to the website, and they can get into the chat room.
Right, and sometimes Bruce Birch is in there, and Bob Kincaid.
You mean Ben
there,
Birch?
So we got, in fact, We have a good relationship with those people over at Horn, thanks to you. that was your doing too, Mike.
Yeah, well, good. Bruce Birch, you mean Ben's brother?
Is that? I don't know. I asked Bob and Bob.
I think it is. Maybe not. It doesn't matter. Well, I hope a lot of people come and join that chat. Do you have any kind of enforcement in case you get a nutball in there?
Yeah, we got Morrison's in there, and I'm in there, and Cassie left. But we got people in there.
All right, well, cool. All right.
Okay, Mike, I'm going to let you go. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Sarge. Appreciate you checking in.
Bye-bye.
You know, another topic that I pulled out of New York Times today, I wanted to get to it. I'm not going to get to it, but Sarge reminds me of it. This is in the business section. A federal judge in Mississippi sided with home insurance companies yesterday and ruled that they did not have to pay for the flooding that destroyed tens of thousands of homes in Hurricane Katrina. Now, see, this is on the business page. Isn't that nice? Insurers have already paid $17 billion for damage to homes from Katrina that was attributed to wind only, but this was a victory for the companies because they could have been forced to pay out untold billions more if they had been required to cover damage from flooding caused by the storm. Several hundred thousand homes were damaged or destroyed by Katrina. And the article goes on. It's in the business section of today's New York Times. So you ought to read it because I'm not going to have a chance to get to it. But it is presented as a victory. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Victory, victory is our cry. We don't have to pay. We don't have to pay. Yeah, 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 yeah. Incoming, incoming. Air assault! Air assault! The insurance companies don't... What are insurance companies for? Well, you know, a lot of people think, well, they're to provide a safety net or to insure. No. They're there to make a profit. Of course they're not going to pay. And the judge in the case ruled that individuals can go ahead and file lawsuits to try to get whatever percentage of the damage done to their property. A court will decide what percent was wind, what percent was water. And the wind, they don't have to pay for. The water, they do. And anybody in South Mississippi who wants to bring a lawsuit, you see, it's very simple. It's very simple. You don't have a house to live in. You don't have a phone. You don't have, you know, you may, if you're lucky, you're living in a FEMA trailer. But if you want to bring a lawsuit, a civil suit against an insurance company, oh, and they don't have good lawyers, you know. They just have people fresh out of law school who will defend them against you, the homeowner, when you decide to go to court. That's what the judge said today. Well, you do have the option of suing the insurance company. We'll let a jury decide what part was wind and what part was water. Oh, my God.
That dam is gonna break, and it'll wash you away. It'll wash you away.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
What's more important to you, a better looking vacuum or a cleaner, healthier home? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL may not win any beauty contests, but it wins rave reviews from owners of those dust-spewing bagless clunkers. Once they try an Orrick XL, they love it. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and take a risk-free trial of the vacuum that won't send a cloud of dust in your face.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Paws patch. Salon Paws medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Paws patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Paws patch. Salon Paws is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
see the cows lying down, it's a pretty good sign. It means they're pretty healthy.
Yeah, but be careful, George. You ride by on your bike, one might come over and bite you on the ass. You know, cows can attack. You know, they will attack. If you irritate them, they'll attack. Moo. Moo. Aerosol, aerosol! Moo. Moo! Born to be derided, yeah. Okay, back to the phone calls here. Tanya is calling from Pennsylvania. Tanya, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
Pretty good. I just want to tell you, I am a native Virginian.
Uh-huh.
And George Allen's track record, it goes back pretty far. We know all about his Confederate flag lapel pin in high school and how proud he is of that. But one of the other things that maybe some of your listeners might not know about is that when he was the governor of Virginia some years before he became a senator,
mm-hmm.
he came up with Confederacy Month. So he caused a big stir, a lot of polarizing things, a lot of racist remarks,
mm-hmm.
and me, a bleeding heart liberal, when he left office and dumped that mess into the lap of his successor, Governor Gilmore, I actually felt sorry for the conservatives because it just did nothing to bring folks together.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just another example of the kinds of things that he stands for, and we just got to step up and do something about it.
Yeah, I hope the people of Virginia will not send George Allen back to as a senator. Aren't there any limits anymore? I mean, it's one thing for people to have their private prejudices or the next level up their bigotries, and God knows it's hard to overcome that. Some of us spend an entire lifetime trying to overcome what was put into our heads when we were kids, but it's something else again to use that as an avenue of political, what am I trying to say here? A way to get elected is to play on people's prejudices and bigotries, and to do it in such an open manner.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it? You know, I sometimes wonder, there's no limit anymore as to what people can or can't say?
Oh, no. And I'm sorry to say, it just seems to be the climate of the country in a lot of respects since we got this idiot in office. And it's really a shame, but the hate mongers in Virginia, you're right, they will be out voting for him. They're very happy to hear these kinds of things. So.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, listen, thanks a lot.
Keep fighting for us, okay?
All right. Thanks, Tanya. I appreciate you checking in. I don't understand. I mean, I do understand all too well. The political mindset that says divide, keep people divided, come up with these wedge issues. What a shame. Joe is calling from Miami. Joe, welcome to the program.
Mike, how you doing today, man?
Doing all right, Joe. How are you?
Listen, dude, this whole thing, go back a week and a half, this whole thing's planned by Bush. You know how he pushed the British to stop the investigation, which I don't think he had to push so hard because I think Blair's included in it. Then the other day he goes to the State Department to talk about terrorism. Yesterday he's at the National Terrorist Center. And all of a sudden, out of blue, any incident that happens, I think the TSA has been told, anything that can be stretched, do it. Here, some woman has a panic attack, and they got all the luggage on the tarmac after they know what the incident is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a game. You know, the problem is, Mike, the American people are sheep. 5 years after 9/11, they're still standing in line, taking their shoes off, throwing away $400 worth of perfume. Where are the biometrics? Where are the fingerprint cards to identify me as a certified traveler or a retinal scan? I mean, richest country on earth. We could at least domestic flights could be very easy to go in and off.
Yeah, but that would eliminate the ability of these rat bastards to keep everybody scared and upset.
Right. Let me make a point, Mike. They bring out a new X-ray machine. You know the one that shows everything you got, the full package.
Right.
You heard about this, right?
Yeah.
What about your health in about 4 or 5 years going through that for 4 or 5 years? You think you might have cancer?
I don't know the possible toxicity of those machines.
Right. No, nobody checks it. And one last thing. The last two airplanes that were brought down were two Russian airliners. Remember that a few years ago?
Yes.
And in the American press, they never said what they thought happened to the airplane. I read it in a British paper. What the Russians think happened was they think there was two women who carried the explosives in their vaginas. And do you think the average American woman's going to submit to the cavity search?
Probably not.
But that's true. I mean, that's a serious thing. They won't tell you in U.S. papers. Take care, my man.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. I think I remember that story. I thought it was so bizarre.
Well, it's not any stranger than the visions of exploding puppies and blowing up urine bags from old men with catheters that we were invoking on the show earlier.
Yeah. God, Bush has done such an amazing thing to this country, hasn't he? Bush and his thugs. I can't get my mind around it half the time. Just can't do it. Unbelievable. The rage, the hatred, the distrust, the greed, the clawing at everybody who's anywhere near you in order to get out of the way. It's just, you know, the wars, the ugliness. Man. All right, phone calls when we come back. You know, it sounds like a punchline to a bad joke. Tickling puppies and exploding urine catheter bags. This is where the Bush administration is taking us. No, I'm sorry. Stay with us. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy, this is Air America.
America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's
Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Israeli Deputy Prime Minister Shimon Peres says he anticipates a UN peacekeeping force will be in place in southern Lebanon within a couple of weeks. He also says Israel expects about 15,000 Lebanese troops to be on the ground in about the same time. When asked when Israel plans to withdraw its troops from southern Lebanon, Peres did not answer directly, but the Israeli said Israel's forces would leave the area as quickly as Lebanese and UN troops arrived. American efforts to find fugitive terrorist Osama bin Laden have not been shut down. White House spokesman Tony Snow made that rebuttal Wednesday to claims by some Democrats. With November's midterm elections looming, Democrats are turning up the heat on U.S. counterterrorism efforts. Some Dems argue the war in Iraq is diverting attention from al-Qaeda and is draining U.S. resources and capabilities. Snow said efforts to locate bin Laden continue unabated. Massachusetts Democratic Congressman Ed Markey says he's sending a letter to Homeland Security Department Secretary Michael Chertoff to suggest the government close security loopholes that could be exploited by terrorists. He said we must close the glaring security loopholes that exist 5 years after 9/11.
I am particularly concerned about the failure to require all air cargo carried on passenger planes to be scanned for explosives before being loaded on board.
Markey wants all U.S.-bound maritime cargo and air cargo scanned before they get here so they can't be tampered with en route to the U.S. The arrest of a suspect in the murder of JonBenet Ramsey is the first major break in a decade. The Boulder, Colorado County DA says a suspect under investigation for months in the death of the child beauty queen was arrested Wednesday in Thailand. The suspect arrested in Bangkok is identified as 41-year-old John Carr, a former school teacher from Georgia. Four Ku Klux Klansmen have been implicated in the bombing murders of two civil rights workers in Mims, Florida, decades ago. Harry and Harriet Moore were killed on Christmas Day of 1951. Four men have been implicated in the crime. All four have since died. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. You know, talk about George Allen in Virginia. The one and only Klan meeting I went to was in Suffolk, Virginia. It was in 1966. My wife at the time and I had just moved to Richmond. And we had a daughter. Wendy was probably about 4 or 5, maybe 4 months old at the time. And I was working for Look Magazine back then in circulation. And I was in Suffolk, Virginia, and I was trying to find, I don't know, a store or something. And I went to the police department in Suffolk, Virginia to get directions. And on the bulletin board, as you walked in to the police station, there was a bunch of flyers, announcements and stuff, upcoming events in Suffolk, Virginia. And one of the announcements was about a Klan rally coming up following Saturday night. Yeah, they used to advertise them right in the police station. And the guest of honor was going to be the recently released from prison Robert Shelton, who was with the United Klans of America, if I remember right, from Alabama. So I drove back to Richmond, and I said to my wife, "You want to go do this?" We were really, really, really young at the time. And I was just real curious about it. And she said, okay. And we figured we could pull it off because we were white. And, you know, we looked like the type of people, white, that would attend a rally like this. So I had the flyer with me. And the next weekend, we drove down from Richmond to Suffolk. It's probably, I don't know, hour and a half drive. And I followed directions down a country road and then a dirt road and then into a soybean field. And the paramilitary types were there directing the traffic. And as we pulled in, pulled onto this bean field, you know, we rolled the window down and this subhuman in a looked like a Nazi uniform stuck his head in. "Hi, folks. Y'all here to hear Robert Shelton?" "Yes, sir, we are." "Okay, park your car over." So we did, and, you know, we stuck around for the whole thing. Even the cross-lighting, they had, I'm trying to remember, they either had a circle of crosses or they had three of them. But Shelton came out, and he was on the back of a flatbed truck, and they'd set up a PA system, kind of a half-assed PA system, and Shelton started his rant. Now, he had just gotten out of prison, so his rant was about states' rights. He said... I'm going to use the N-word here. Don't bleep it out because it's in context. He stood up there and said, "If you want me to talk about nigger, 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 you ain't going to hear it tonight. But I'm going to tell you about states' rights because I'll tell you what this federal government is doing. I'll tell you what this Lyndon Johnson..." And he went on and on and on. Well, when he finished, then the people who could get up there and say the N-word did. And I've never seen anything like it in my life, especially when they came to the lighting of the crosses and the raised arms salute. And they hadn't started, I don't think back in 66 they were chanting white power yet, but it was scary because it was all tied in with a brand of Christianity that to me is horrifying, and racism and the South. And there it was. And so we stood there and watched this. And we watched the people. We saw little kids dressed up in Klan robes and pointy hats. You know, you've seen it. I've seen it on documentaries. But there it was, you know, right there. Right, bang, right in our face. Scary stuff. So, you know, as far as Virginia, and I know, don't email me and tell me that Robert Byrd of West Virginia, the senator, is a former Klan member. I know he was back in the day. I understand. I think he's totally repudiated that and gone on to become a constitutional leader in this country. But so it was not necessarily a bad thing 70 years ago, 60 years ago, to be a member of the Klan if you were in the South. And George Allen, who from looking at him, I don't think he was alive 70 years ago, he knows that he can get away with it today. He can say it today. Only he doesn't use the N-word. He says macaca. Speaking of Klansmen and macacas, Mark is calling from Phoenix. Mark, who you hating tonight, pal? Hey, Mark, who you hating tonight?
Hey, listen, I want to talk.
Well, a lot of people want a lot of things. So what? There are folks out there who want to eat tonight, Mark. So what?
Listen, Mike, just give me a chance.
I'll give you a chance, but who are you hating tonight? Who's the bullseye tonight, Mark?
I don't understand why you have a problem with the certain people having a separate line at the airport.
I think you should have your own line. I really do. You're a psychopath. I would no more get on a plane with you than fly to the moon. You know that?
You telling me you never been on an airplane scared to death when you seen a certain, you know?
Oh, hell no. Look, let me tell you something, Mark. I trust myself. I know I can whip most people's asses who are my size, and if they got a gun, I've got a gun. Now, if it's on an airplane, am I afraid of somebody? No, not ever. You sound like a coward, though, but I'm not. See, Mark, I'm not a coward.
I was listening to Michael Savage today, and he's for, what do they call him, internment?
He's a coward. You're a coward. Most of you right-wingers are cowards. You're scared of your own shadows.
Well, I don't know what to say. If you liberals...
Go ahead.
Michael, if you liberals, it causes problems.
How do we do that, Mark?
Bill Clinton.
Oh, for Christ's sake, you're kidding me. What did Bill Clinton do? Come on, Mark, I don't have all night. Speak up, yellow belly. Say something.
Disgrace the White House.
He disgraced the White House. Okay, you're disgracing my program. Do you understand that?
Hey, Mike, how come you never take any opposition calls?
Because you right-wing cowards,
you're afraid to call me.
No, I'm wide open. But usually
that's
when
why Savage makes more
hey,
money.
Hey, Mark,
Mark,
of course he does. Hate sells in this country. I don't give a damn what somebody makes. Look, Mark, let me tell you something. The reason
the
I don't get...
liberal radio is you people
oh, Jesus. The reason I don't get right-wingers to call in this program, Mark,
you're
except
you...
You're
scared of them.
No, they're afraid of me. You're insane.
I'm on the phone. You hang up on me. You won't let
No, I don't. I hang up on you when I finally have enough. Not only
Bill
are you right.
Oh,
Jesus.
Bill Clinton was a disgrace in that White House. Monica Lewinsky.
You wish you could have gotten in with Monica Lewinsky.
And
come on,
next
Mark.
Thing you know, we're going to have.
You wish you could have got some of Monica, Mark. Come on, you know it.
The only liberal worth a damn is Joe Lieberman.
Yeah, right. All right. Now, Mark, let me tell you why I hang up. I hang up, which I'm going to do right now, get rid of him, when you get boring. Okay? The thing I can't stand from you right-wingers are, A, you're cowards. B, you don't make any sense. C, you're fixated on Clinton's penis. And last, you're boring. You are cowards and all you can talk about. I mean, how long ago did Clinton's mighty penis take over your life? That's all you people talk about. I won't see it. I remember. Oh, trust me, Mark. I remember back in, what was it, 99, 98, 99, when all this was going on, when Tweety Bird had his TV persona developed and O'Reilly and all these people. And there was a lawsuit. There was talk about making Clinton go into court because of what was the broad's name from the trailer park? Paula Jones, that's right. Paula Jones said, well, he did me, and I'll tell you, he did. And you want to know the proof? His thing looks funny. It's got marks on it. And so there was talk about, in her civil case, and every right-winger, every male right-winger in America just lost his breath when he heard this one. They were going to make Clinton go into court and drop his drawers so that they could check it out and see if what's her name? Paula Jones is telling the truth, right? And I remember that. And the right-wingers were just the men. I don't think the women too much gave a damn. But the men, the conservatives, Republicans, they were just beside themselves. My God, I thought Henry Hyde was going to trip over his own tongue when he heard about that. You know, oh, my God, Clinton's going to get in here and take his pants down. And you're that way, too, aren't you, Mark? I mean, if you people just could have seen Clinton's penis and been done with it, but you were denied.
You were denied that one moment that would have salvated you.
Is that a word?
It would have given you salvation if you just could have seen the mighty clean penis. Amen.
Hallelujah. Mark, listen, I don't know what time it is this hour of the night in Phoenix. Please, could you find something else to do? Next time you feel like you want to pick up the phone and call me, please cut your hand off, all right? Or your fingers so you can't dial. And don't holler out for somebody to come in and dial. I'm sorry you didn't get a chance to see Clinton's penis. I really am. It would have made your day, would have made your night, would have made your life, and you would have gotten over your fixation. But you guys are so transparent. Every one of you right-wingers, you couldn't see the mighty Clinton penis. And to this day, you're beside yourself. I watch y'all on television. I hear you on the radio programs. And I just don't want you on my radio show, okay? Please go away, Mark. Please go away. Go get some male porn. Check that out. Something. Just something. Go away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
Washington, we're now determining the size and the shape of a package. Not if we have a package, it's how big will the package be.
It's astonishing. All Republican men are fixated on other men's privates, you know? And now we have this report from the Christian website, what is it, ChristianPost.com, that Christian women are struggling with porn. You suppose there's a connection there? I don't know. I'm just concerned about this. Because, you know, misdirected or unfulfilled sex drive usually results in violence. That could explain a lot, couldn't it? Huh? All these frustrated white Republicans who are in positions of power, and think about Ann Coulter. No, don't. I take that back. Don't think about her. It's too late in the evening. But she's one example, isn't she? Of somebody who's just eaten alive with her hatred because her sex life is what? I mean, what is it? Anne and her vibrator. Doesn't that get old after a while? Not the vibrator, Anne. But the truth starts to come out now with these people. You know, here it is. And Mark is just a classic example. Fixated for 10 years on Clinton's penis. Just fixated. Can't get away from it. I said it when I was on WLS in Chicago, and it's probably one of the reasons I had to part company with those people. But way back in, what was it, Kathy, 98, 97, 98, when all this was going down, and we just discussed it openly and brazenly one night, that they would all be happy if they could just see the marks. They didn't really want to see the marks. They wanted to see it, especially Ken Starr. Ken Starr had, I mean, if anybody was fixated on Bill Clinton's nether region, thank you, it was Ken Starr. I mean, it was Ken Starr single-handedly opened up the internet to pornography with his report.
Well, and then in the testimony that we have, Monica said then she took it. And, you know, and it just, this stuff was prurient beyond belief. And we talked to the butler about the Kleenex because we were concerned about that. And then, of course, the dress. Now, we have the dress. Yeah, I tried it on the other night, as a matter of fact. You know? And after I tried it on and saw how snugly it fit, I went to the thrift store and found a beret. Now, I realize I'm the special prosecutor, and but I'll tell you, it's just, ooh. Why am I talking like this? Because I'm gay? No, I'm not gay. I'm not gay. I'm just as non-gay as Bill Clinton. But I talk like this because I had an accident when I was a child. And all of a sudden right now, I'm just craving a box of Cuban cigars. I don't know why. Oh, God. You remember that, don't you? And then I had people like Mark call this program. And I've, you know, the question is, why don't right-wingers call here? Because they have no courage. They have no argument. They have nothing to say. They're all running away from Bush as fast as their little web feet can carry them. And they're all switching over. You know, it's not cool to be a Klan member anymore, so you join a you join the Minuteman. The Minutemen. Oh, well, we're going to keep the Mexicans out. you know, we just want to control our border. You know, the macacas? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Hello? What is it with Republicans? Not that I care. I really don't, except I have to share a continent with them. You know, these conservatives, the Republicans, the little racist thugs who listen to this program, who get naked every night and turn the lights off and plug in their computer and sit there and watch porn and listen to this program. You people are really, really sick. But don't worry. Jesus loves you, okay?
Could you...
And this report from this Christian website, now all I can get in my mind are Christian women with the Bible in one hand and some kind of weird porn in the other. God bless you. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But, you know.
Mush, 'cause I got a crush, my baby, on you.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello?
Hello, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh.
Uh-huh.
The new owner of your Jetta, man, your old GLI 2004, you traded in, I bought it. In October last year?
Right.
Dude, it's such a great car.
Wait a minute. That red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome.
Uh-huh.
Is this weird that I'm calling you?
No, I'm working right now.
It's just when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected.
Okay.
You love the Jetta, now I love the Jetta. It's just like we're a family. We should hang out. You and me and the Jetta? How about I give you my number, you ring me when it's good? Do you have an email?
Volkswagen owners really love their cars, but sometimes they have to let them go. Then we pass them on to you. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
I work all day, Dr. Phil, and okay, fine, I guess I'm sort of a homebody, so I feel like it's really never going to happen for me.
Look, love is not like the pizza man. Hi, I'm going door to door looking for a life partner. Not going to happen.
Dr. Phil is on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day. For a limited time, Match.com will guarantee you'll find someone special within 6 months or will give you 6 months free. Join Match.com today, the number one site for love.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
We'll be right back.
many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country. Need some wood?
And he, you know, he says these things. And then I have somebody like Mark who calls a program. And you know, again, let me just try to make it clear. We always suggest that right-wingers call. And, you know, if you all get together and have a committee meeting and anoint Mark and send Mark out to do battle with the dragon that is this program, Mark is going to get his ass singed every time it happens. I'm telling you, Mark, you got to find something better to do with your time, pal. Aren't there some kids in your neighborhood you can go peek in and watch them as they hang upside down on the monkey bars or something? I mean, can't you do that? I'm not suggesting you should touch them. But, you know, you could watch. Maybe that'll work for you. Oh, God, these people are just so disgusting. All right, let's try to get back to reality just a tad. Elizabeth is calling from San Diego. Elizabeth, welcome to the program.
Hi, I'd like to know what the neocons would like to do with me. I'm an American Muslim who doesn't wear a veil. When I do, I'm sometimes mistaken for a nun.
I'm laughing because they wouldn't know what to do with you.
Thank you. And if you passed me on the street, you would never know what I am. And in addition, I didn't mention this to your screener, but I'm an airline retiree, and I applied for another airline job today. Oh, of course, God. Of course, I didn't say my religion. But what would Fox and their ilk do with people like me who make a living in this industry?
They're sick and insane. Elizabeth, I don't know. And this guy, Mike Gallagher, this talk show host, and all this stuff about sending the Muslims to another line at the airport, this is what Bush has unleashed in this country. It's just beyond belief. Usually when I have to fill an application and it says religion, you know, I just take my pen and just gouge and rip that box into a million pieces. But I understand, you do have a religion, but I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what you tell yourself. I don't know how anyone who is a Muslim in this country, how you don't feel, that George Bush and his gang are just targeting you.
Malcolm X said it best back in the 60s, I'm paraphrasing him, any Muslim in this country who is not mad as hell is insane.
Yeah, well, I hear that. All right, well, listen, stay in touch, all right?
Thank you.
Thanks, Elizabeth. And I'm serious about, you know, the Muslims are in the barrel today with these psychopaths, these white Christians, but the Jews are next. Now, you know, this is not a news flash to you. We've been talking about this for months and months and months and months. To the Christians, the only good Jew is a convert to Christianity or a dead Jew. It's part of their theology. You do understand that, right? You know, don't forget. According to these dominionists, these Armageddonists, it was the Jews who killed Jesus. Forget Vatican II. They don't care about that. What are you talking about? That was a Catholic who said that. Haven't you heard Mel Gibson lately? I don't understand this pact with Satan that Israelis or Jews have made. Jews in this country, Israelis in Israel, have made this pact with these demons like Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson. What the hell is wrong with you people? You people being Jews who sign up with these right-wing crazies who will cut your throat in an instant. As soon as the big Jesus comes back, if you don't accept him, you are dead. Don't you understand that? If they can get their hands on you. Oh, my God. So the Muslims are getting it now. You know, 6 months from now, Mike Gallagher may go on the radio and talk about, well, I think the Jews ought to have another line. They killed my Lord and Savior. Oh, my God. And some of you people, you know, when you became aware that I'm just a full-blown card-carrying, thank you, God, atheist. You know, I get these emails, oh, you're going to burn in hell. Oh, okay, yeah, that'll happen. Wonder why. Oh, my God. Thanks for calling, Elizabeth. Bill is calling from Phoenix. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Can I explain Mark to you?
Sure, go ahead.
It's the adverse effects of, you know, that dry heat thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if you keep reaching for beer instead of water, that dry heat thing, it starts sucking your brains clear out your ears.
Yeah, that's in Phoenix, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
It's hot here, baby.
Yeah, well, I know. I spent a month in Phoenix one night.
You know, I wish you'd come here and do your show here. You know, and visitors. Randy visited.
Well, I'd love to. If Air America would ever stop being so cheap and start promoting the programs and send
Hell, I'll take a collection up here. We'll get you here tomorrow.
Nah, that's nice. I appreciate that. But if, you know, Air America should step up to the plate and send their talk show hosts out, and, you know, I'll come in an instant.
Maybe we've got to just stir the pot a little bit.
Well, send an email. Send a letter to Air America and say, you know, isn't it time that you started sending your people out to press the flesh? I mean, I've gone to a couple places, and so has Randy, but it's like all of a sudden, you know, we're not doing anything, and I'd like to get back into that groove.
Better days are coming, Mike, I'm sure. Got to ask you another question. Did you join the Red Tag Brigade yet?
The Red Tag Brigade?
Yeah, that little red tag, that space I wanted to rent over your heart to let people know that you stand with Cindy. She could use our help.
Oh, that's right. No, I haven't.
Would you please?
All right, what do I have to do?
Just take a safety pin and a little red cloth, put it over your heart. Anybody asks you why, tell them because you support Cindy Sheen. You wish they would, too, and take it from your heart and give it to them.
All right.
Put it over their heart. We're going to do this heart to heart.
If I can find something red, I threw out all my red cloths when I dropped my membership in the Communist Party.
Safety pins are cheap. Red ribbon's even cheaper.
All right, red ribbon. I can do a ribbon. All right.
There was one more thing. At least I forget.
Okay. Go ahead.
Dang, I hate when that happens.
I know. It's called a brain fart.
I had a stroke, though. I got an excuse.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. All right. Boy, don't I feel like a freak.
But, Mike, how would you know? I'm so shocked.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go home tonight and kill myself now for saying that.
Oh, Jesus, Christmas. I'd miss you more than my very next breath.
All right. So what's the last thing, Bill, if you can remember it?
I can't remember. I'll call you again, though.
All right. Do that. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Tell somebody it's a brain fart, and they say, no, I had a stroke. Ah! Oh, man, I'm George Allen stupid tonight, right? Ali is calling from Florida. Ali, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Good.
I'm doing okay when I'm not insulting people who've had strokes, but other than that, I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing fine, Mike. As far as you being ashamed of being an American, you were saying earlier, you shouldn't be because you are a true American.
Well, you know what I mean. You know, if I were traveling right now overseas, I would hide my passport and tell people who asked I was Canadian. I swear to God, I would.
I mean, most people have a brain, and they know that the American people aren't like this administration that hijacked this country, basically.
Well, I hope that's the truth. But the more and more that I read in the foreign press, whether it's South Asian or European or African, Middle Eastern, the more and more that I read, it's getting harder and harder for people to separate Americans from the leadership. And let me tell you why. As far as the rest of the world is concerned, I don't think they understand this, but they look at the United States as having reelected this thug in 2004. I mean, it's okay on the one hand to say, all right, the first election was handed off by the United States Supreme Court. But the second time, how did that happen? And if you go back and say, well, wait a minute, it was stolen, the voting machines and the suppression of Democratic votes. You know, people in other parts of the world go, yeah, okay, well, tell us about it. Then why didn't you do what the Ukrainians did? Why aren't you doing what the Mexicans did? Why didn't you do what the Serbians did? Why aren't you in the street by the millions if you're election? You see what I'm saying?
That's because they had all the money to buy out churches and buy their votes and
but it's getting
and
harder. But it's getting harder and harder, I think, to convince the rest of the world that there's a difference between Americans and American leadership. I can remember back during the Cold War with the Soviet Union, we were all supposed to say, well, you know, we really like the Russian people, we just don't like their leadership. And the fact was, growing up in America in the 50s like I did, we hated all of them because they were going to nuke us. And we knew they were going to nuke us because we had the duck and cover drills. Now, the United States doesn't just threaten. We bomb the hell out of anybody and everybody. And that's the part that scares me, that the rest of the world can't differentiate between Americans and American leadership. That's why we got to get rid of them.
Right. But, you know, unfortunately, I'm going to say this to you, and this is my fear, is that he's going to start something with Iran and he's going to stay in power. And he's going to say, I'm going to be the president, dictator Bush, for a point of time until this conflict is over. And this is the administration we have. We have a bunch of criminals that have been running around for, 6 years now, and nobody can seem to put a stop to it. Not the Democrats, not anybody.
Well,
above the law.
Let's hope that can change, because an attack on Iran, and I swear to God, you're going to see an awful lot of people exiting the United States because we're not going to live here anymore. Thanks for your phone call. I appreciate it. Quick break.
No problem.
We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Can a vacuum make a difference in your life? Ask anybody who owns an 8-pound Orrick XL. They'll tell you there's not an easier or more efficient way to clean your home. And it's sanitary. See for yourself, risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. I'll get an Orrick XL to you faster than you can say, why settle for clean when you can have healthy, too.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk, and I love the way you talk. When you walk that walk, and you talk that talk. You knocks me out, out off of my feet.
10 before the hour. Boom, boom, boom. Thanks to our engineers tonight, Justin Nguyen and Tim MacArthur. Bang, bang, bang. In New York City, David Weissman, who handled your phone calls at the home office. Thanks, guys. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, who archives the program. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, and check out Tony4Congress2006.com, Tony Trupiano's website. Catherine Bay is the executive producer of this program. Back to the phone calls. Jeff is calling from Pittsburgh, California. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Jeff. Welcome to the program.
Pittsburgh without the H. Pretty good. I've got an explanation as to what went on with why people didn't respond to the rigged elections, and it's shock and awe.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right.
People have never seen anything like this. Never. Not in this century. Not in America. And they just couldn't believe that it was happening. The first time was the confusion, we'll just get the Supreme Court to, settle the argument, and then it happened again, and people were going, oh, my God.
Right, right.
And, my wife and I, we talk about this a lot with our marriage counselor, and she says this time, if it happens again, there is going to be a revolt.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. As George Bush said, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, won't get fooled again. Misquoting the Who, but I think you're right. I think the shock to quietly realize that we had a presidential election stolen from us by five members of the Supreme Court, and then the second time it was stolen because of the trickery, treachery of the Republican Party. It's hard to process, but I think you're right. I think if it happens,
they've never seen anything like it.
Hey, wait a second, Jeff. You said your marriage counselor said there's going to be a revolt, revolution. Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
All right. Well, is this an issue? Does this come up in your marriage?
What's that?
The stolen elections.
I mean, when you sit down, you talk about all parts of your psyche.
Right. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
And that's bothering you.
Yeah.
Even though it may not bother your marriage, it's first thing you do is to kind of clear your head. Well, let's talk about what's on your mind now, and then we'll get into the deep stuff.
Right. Okay. I got you. Why is the marriage counselor talking about American politics? But no, that makes sense. All right. I got it now. I got it. Yeah.
She brings in, gets messages from all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
And if it happens this time, there will be a revolt. She said it's going to be something like, not like a civil war, but there's going to be anger in the streets this time.
I would think. I know one person will be in the streets, and his initials are Mike Malloy.
mine too.
Yeah, I hear you. All right.
By the way, I caught you on the Alex Jones show last week.
Oh, did you?
Man, that guy is blowing a fuse, isn't he?
Right. Well, it was fun to do. I mean, Alex and I may have some differences on other issues, but
he's definitely a right winger.
But we're on the same page at least. I made it very clear. I have not come to any kind of conclusions about 9/11, except for the fact that I do not believe the official Bush crime family story. That's where I am with that.
It stinks to high heaven. Even my wife says, when we saw it on the news, how did that building come down so fast? And he called the 9/11 thing before it happened.
Yeah, I read something. Yeah, I saw that piece of video where he, I believe it was a month earlier or something.
He put together a few things and says, I think it's going to happen. This time I'm hoping he's putting together 3-3 and getting 14, okay?
I hear you.
Because what he's talking about now is really rough. Well, by the way, on that that terror threat thing with the old lady, with the jar of Vaseline, the box of matches.
Well, it was face cream, I think.
Oh yeah, how did they get those F-16s up there so damn fast?
Yeah, wasn't that amazing?
They learned something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they did. All right, Jeff, thanks.
Yeah.
Call us again. Good luck with the marriage counseling. I hope everything works out there, pal. Arnold is calling from West Virginia. Arnold, welcome to the program. I'm sorry, we've got about a minute.
Yeah, well, what can I say, Mike? Listen, Mike, I'm a long, long time listener. I'm a black truck driver, and I can't tell you how many miles you and I have covered this country.
Well, thank you. You listen on XM?
Yes, sir. Listen, I can leave Mobile at 10 o'clock at night and tune you on. You say, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Right.
By the time you say, watch your back, I'm in Houston, Texas.
All right.
Hey, listen, I'm telling you, and there's a lot of other black truck drivers with you, Mike, just because of what you are and what you said, what the things you said. I thought you came so very close tonight of really exposing why the neocons, the right-wingers, the crazies like Mark, think the real reason we call President Clinton our first black president. I thought you were going to really expose that tonight, which came so very close, you know.
Well, you know, I've said it before. The people who fixate on the Clinton presidency or anything about Clinton, to me, are just sick puppies. I mean, they really are. The man hasn't been in office for how long now? I mean, how long has it been, Arnold?
It's been 8 years.
Yeah.
As long as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
It's been like 8 years. Listen, Mike, let me say this one thing, man. The reason we listen to you as black truck drivers is because what you say about how black people are treated in this country. You say it so many times a night. Macaca. First time I heard it on the CB tonight was the day. Macaca. Mm-hmm. We always listen to words like nigger, porch monkey, biscuit lips. Now they got macaca, thanks to George Allen, you know. You wouldn't believe the racism that's up in this world as being a truck driver.
Yeah, I would. I would believe it. I would believe it. Arnold, we're out of time.
Okay, man.
All right, I'm sorry you held on for so long. Call me again, and I'll get you on quicker, okay?
All right,
take care. Drive safe, too. Drive safe. Take it easy. Thanks for participating tonight, however you did that. I'll see you tomorrow night. All right? Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hello?
Hello. Hey, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh, the new owner of your Jetta. He traded it in.
Wait a minute. That red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. It's just, when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected. It's just like we're a family. We should hang out. You and me and the Jetta. Do you have an email?
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them, with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Dr. Phil is on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day. For a limited time, Match.com will guarantee you'll find someone special within 6 months, or will give you 6 months free. Join Match.com today, the number one site for love.